Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. But before we begin, as you're finding your place there, we do want to recognize and welcome that we have some new faces in the crowd. We always love that we have new people. Amen. And we're so grateful that you're here. We want to thank Floyd and Kelly. I know your wife has gone to work, but thank you for coming this morning. And Sarah, thank you for coming. We're so glad you're here. And if you're a first-time visitor and I did not catch you, I have a problem. I think I caught everyone. You're not a first-time visitor, Josh. Good luck on that. But we are so very thankful for our visitors, and we're so very grateful that you're here with us. Well, we've been going verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark, and last week we looked at the story, the parable of the soils, and if you weren't here, I would tell you to go and listen to the sermon, but my sermon was on the digital recorder that was stolen, so I didn't get a chance to put it on the internet. So I'm going to re-record the sermon tomorrow night, and we're going to put it on there, so you won't miss one if you happen to not be here, and so you won't miss one. It'll just be a week late. So,
maybe the guys that stole it can listen to it.
There you go. There you go. Listen to it and get saved, I pray. See what kind of soil they're on. Amen. Well, anyway, we're looking at Mark chapter 21. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. I got a little dyslexia here. So let's look at it here. It says, and he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a peck measure, is it? Or under a bed. It is not brought to be put on a lampstand. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it should come to light. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away. Bless the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Help us to hear them, to read and mark and learn and inwardly digest them, that encouraged and supported by your holy word, we may embrace and always hold fast the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I used to remember growing up in Sunday school, I was always a church kid, and I used to remember growing up and singing the song we sang this morning, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The best time that I've ever heard that song, I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I was there with Campus Crusade for Christ for a conference, and we were in the middle of going to deliver boxes of food to these people and doing some door-to-door evangelism. And each of the different places had a host church that we were going to work with. And we walked into this particular African-American church. And they sang this little light of mine that could have brought revival across the nation. I mean, oh boy. They sang it in a way, boy, that it just, ooh. And I grew up Nazarene, and in that fact that I never really learned to raise my hands until recently, or, you know, I was always told you just stood there, not doing anything, and it wasn't my home church, so I kind of stood in the back there and sat in the back row, and sitting there just listening to this, taking it all in, and all of a sudden this older lady came up, and she got in behind me, and she stood me up. And she started taking my hands and clapping them. And before I knew it, I was in. I went, boy, this little out of my room. Yeah, we were going to town. And we asked the question, well, what is this talking about? Because Jesus talks about letting your, what about lamps and bushels and all this. What is he talking about? Well, we know that from what a parable is, that Jesus is using an illustration to prove a point, right? And the illustration is having to do with the way that we share our faith with others. And he correlates that the way that we share our faith is like a lamp. We don't buy a light for the purpose of putting it underneath a bed, right? Who here buys a lamp to put it underneath a bed? Anybody? Nobody. Who here buys a lamp to put it underneath a basket? That would be pointless. That wouldn't be worth what we're doing. We buy a light for the purpose so that we can see, right? So that I can see what I'm doing. And that's why we have a lamp. And Jesus uses this correlation where he begins to say, he says, a lamp is not brought to be put under a peck measure. Now, a peck measure in my particular translation means a basket, bushel basket. It's a, you know, pretty way, you know, pretty tall thing. You just don't put something in there. You put corn or grain within that kind of a basket. And so Jesus uses two things here to get two things across. The first thing is we need to share the truth. And he uses that through candles or to be placed on a lampstand. We don't buy a candle to put it so no one uses it. We buy a candle so that we can see what we're doing. How many of you enjoy walking around in the dark? I sure don't. I remember one particular time I was staying. I served as an evangelist one time, and I stayed at a particular family's house that had small kids. And the place that I was staying, the bedroom, in order to get to the bathroom, you had to cross the living room. And you would think that that wouldn't be a big task, but try doing that in the middle of the night with no lights on. And what's even worse is they had toys scattered all over the living room. It's like walking through a minefield. And I was doing pretty good until I stepped on a micro machine. Those things are small, and you wouldn't think they would hurt so much until you step on them. Barefoot, it hurts bad. And so I'm making my way through there. After stepping on two cars, I go, this is stupid. I pull out my phone, I turn on my flashlight, and I just work my way to the restroom. But the idea is those things give us light. We sang that song. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Our kids were learning about that this morning. That the word of God is a light. Our faith is light by which people find Jesus. And he says, you don't get a candle and put it underneath a basket. You don't put it underneath a bed. You put it on a lampstand so that everyone can enjoy and use the light. The warning here is that all things shall be revealed, that nothing is hidden. Meaning that Jesus didn't want to not have the gospel available for someone that needed to hear the gospel message. That's one of the things why I don't buy the whole predestination thing. Because everyone at one possible time needs to hear the gospel. And it may be from the life that you and I are living. We don't know. And so when Jesus talks about here, he goes on after he talks about the lamp. He says, "For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor has anything been secret, but that it should come to light." Meaning that if you would come and want to know what it means and have the heart wanting to know what it means, then you can certainly get the meaning to it. And so the exhortation is, you better hear. He uses that phrase, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." So if you have ears, hear. And that doesn't mean just listen. It means to listen attentively. To go, "Oh, I need to listen to that." So we need to share the truth. We need to share the truth because there are people in this world that desperately need the truth. And the reality of it is they won't step foot inside of a church. I think it was one of the early church fathers says to preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. There are people in this world, there are people in this town that will dare not step foot in a church because they're afraid of what people might say to them. They're afraid of what people might do to them. They're afraid of what people might think of their past. And they're never going to step inside of a church. And that's why our walks are so important. The lives that we live are so important because when people see the way you and I act, the question is, do we act any differently than we would if we didn't know Jesus? Do we act like we have a bushel basket over our lives? Do we act like we live under a bed? People want to hear the gospel message. People are inching and waiting to receive the message, but they can if we're hiding the message. So we need to share the truth, but not only do we need to share the truth, but we need to obey the truth. Amen. He goes on to say in verse 24, and he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to." Meaning, another translation, I think the New King James says, "Take heed what you listen to." Meaning, don't just listen to it and go, "Oh, that's nice," and go home and forget about what you say. Take heed. Take special attention to try to remember what you say and put it into practice. Why? Why is that so important? Well, he says, "By the standard of measure, it shall be measured to you." Meaning, the more that you obey, the more God can pour into your life. The more you obey God, the more God will bless you. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to walk home and find a $1,000 check in your mailbox. Boy, that would be nice. I know. I got my laptop stolen. I was just waiting outside that mailbox for a $600 check. I did not get one. Does that mean that God's not blessing me? No. But you see, the more we obey God, the more we do what God wants us to, the more we measure it, the more He'll measure back to us. The more God will be able to pour into our lives and the more we can become more like Him. Take heed. Make sure you hear the truth and obey it. When I think of that, I think of what James talks about in the first chapter of the book of James, where he talks about the importance of hearing and doing the Word of God. And he says in verse 22, I find this interesting. He says, "But prove yourselves doers of the Word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Now another translation says, to deceive themselves. Then a lot of times if we think, well, I know that already. I'm good. I don't have to do that. I got it all under control. We deceive ourselves. We think that we're better than we really are. And he says, don't do that. He says, but prove to be doers of the word and not merely hearers only. For anyone who hears the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Have you ever done that? Go and look in the mirror and then go, who is that guy in the mirror? I sure don't know who. Now, I've done that before. But what he's saying here is that if we go and we just hear it, but we don't do what it says, we forget it immediately. But he says, look at this. This is important. He says, but the one who looks intently, and that word intently means with purpose, at the perfect law, and that's God, and that's the Bible, the law of liberty, and abides by it, and does it, and makes it his life. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this person shall be blessed in what he or she does. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I want the favor of God onto my life. And so if we want to be able to be in the center of God's will, amen, we have to be obedient to God's word. Amen.
Amen.
Do you think that if I would go and disobey my parents that I would be in the center of my parents' will?
No.
Absolutely not. If I want to be in the center of my parents' will, then I have to be willing to obey my parents, even when what they ask me to do, clean my room, mow the lawn, may sound just preposterous. I have to trust them that what they're doing and what they ask me to do is for my best and my good. And that's the same way that God does. God may ask us to do stuff that we think is flat crazy. I go back to this. I remember when God called me down here. And I remember I was driving home and I was staying at Craig's house. And it was that night, and I was praying, and God really convicted me because he told me I was coming down here. And I told God, you're crazy. I says, I don't have a job. This church can't pay me anything. And you want me to, and he says, I want you to trust me. I says, trust me what? I don't have anything here. He says, I want you to trust me. You're crazy, God. He says, trust me. And I says, okay. And I've been here for a little over 2 years, 2.5 years. God has blessed this little church. Amen.
Amen.
These kids are hearing the word of God every week. We are able to go out and we're able to bring them. God's word is being heard not only here but through the internet and through other ways where we are having people's lives transformed. The message of holiness is being preached. We are hearing of people who are getting filled with the Holy Spirit, entirely sanctified, that don't even go to this church, but they're hearing about it through our podcast ministry.
Amen.
We have to be obedient to the Word of God even when it makes no sense at all. And he says, for whoever has, and what he's talking about has does not mean possessions, but it means whoever has the knowledge, more will be given. So if we are obedient, God will give us more responsibility. God will give us more to take care of. But he says that he who doesn't obey, he says even what he has will be taken away from him. I mean, that's a pretty big responsibility that we have to obey. So the question is, well, how do I take this from the Bible and take it outside these doors to Globe, Arizona, and apply this to my life and to my work and all this fun stuff? Well, here's how we do it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." There are three questions that I think we need to ask ourselves today in way of application. Number one, does anyone know that I am a light burning with the fire from heaven? If someone would walk up to you this morning, would they go, "There's something different about you"? I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something different. There's something different. There's a different kind of glow that you have. Maybe this morning you're sitting here and going, "You know what, I don't have that kind of light. I don't even know who this Jesus is." Well, this morning you can know who Jesus is simply by confessing your sins, trusting in Him. You can know who this Jesus is, have a relationship with Him, and have that light to shine for others to see. So does anyone know that you are a light burning with the fire from heaven? Second, what good works do they see you doing that reflect well on your Heavenly Father? Are you the type of people that if they would see you in church on Sunday morning would have to go, "Wow, you know, I don't think I would have pegged you to see you in church on Sunday morning"? Or are you the type of person that has a relationship with Christ that is so that people would know, "Yeah, that person has a relationship with Jesus"? What good things are we doing? What ways are we demonstrating to people that we don't even know? Because there are people, like I said before, that will never step foot in the church. But by our acts of piety, by our acts of kindness, we can touch them with Jesus. We can be, in a sense, Jesus to them. So what are we doing? And number three, how does your faith cause you to behave differently from anyone else? Now, we don't do that because we have to. We do it because we want to. You know, I used to remember all the things that we were not supposed to do. We can't do this, and we can't do that, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. And it's so easy to become legalistic. It's not about I can't do it, but I don't want to do it. Someone told me one time, they said, "Pastor, you're really a fun sucker," meaning I suck all the fun out of it. "You must have no fun at all. You can't have any fun." I says, "No, I have more fun than you'll ever know." You can have fun. We're not here today to say that you have to be still and read your Bible 24 hours a day and you can't have any fun. You got to be, you know, straight-faced all day long. But the question that I want to ask you is, when people look at you, do they see you or do they see Jesus living inside of you? And how do we do that? How do we let people see Jesus inside of us Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. How do we see it? We see it through the lives that we live. And you know, if we're honest, we can't do this on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen? Because the more that we try, the more harder that we try, the more that we find that we fail, and we fail pretty miserably sometimes. But we know that with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of Jesus, we can be a visual sign to those who will never step foot in this church or who would never step foot in the church. But maybe they would see you and the way that you lived or the way that you handled the situation, because people are watching you. They watch the way that you handle things. They watch the way that you do things. When I was in Bible college, I used to work at Target. I was a stalker. I would wake up early in the morning and stock all the shelves, and then I'd go home and I'd study and I'd go to class and I'd wake up early the next morning and do it all over again. And I remember one time when our store was getting ready to shut down, we had about four people from our work start coming to our church. And I remember when they came into the Sunday school class that I was teaching, I says, "What are you doing here?" And they says, "We want to hear what you have to say because you practice what you preach." All the time when people are getting frustrated and doing all these things, you're just as calm as a cucumber. You know exactly what you're doing. You're kind with everyone, even when it doesn't feel like you can. You've got something that we want. Amen. Now, I'm not here to toot my own horn and say, look at me, how good I am. But what I'm saying is, all I was I was just a reflection of Jesus.
Amen.
And that's all you and I can do, is just be reflections of Jesus into the world in which we live. Let's pray together. Father, as we look at this passage about the lamp, putting it on a lampstand, Father, we get so afraid sometimes. We're afraid of what other people might say. We're afraid of what other people might do. We're afraid that they may not be our friends. There's a lot of reasons why we don't put our lamp on our stands. But Father, we pray for the courage today to help us to put our lamp on our stands so that people can see our lives and that they would see from us that there is something different about us. Not that we are stuckity-stuck people, but that we are people that have genuine love for them. Because, Father, you have loved us, and so we can love our neighbor. Father, we know that this is an extremely difficult thing to do without your help. And so, Father, we pray and we rely upon you for our help in this time. And we pray for your help in this, for only you can give it. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.